also an idea about community rather than only individuality. What's more, it's a way of trusting and following Jesus together. It was intentionally practiced by the first century church. Here's your trivia tidbit here. Do you realize when you read through those letters, especially of Paul in the New Testament, that with almost no exception, they are written to groups of people. They're written to churches rather than to individuals. Too often, I think we miss out on that. We're seeped in an individualistic society, so it's no wonder. I mean, of course we think that way. And yet, what we're going to see out of Acts 2 this morning is a picture of doing life not just on our own, not where, as the famous poem goes, where every man is an island. No, instead it's a Christian life where we are side by side and together. And the passage and the context remain the same as last week. After Peter's preaching in Jerusalem at the start of Acts, the Lord then worked in marvelous ways. Several thousand people came to Jesus after that sermon, which, by the way, just as a side note, doesn't mean that the sermon was that great. It means that God was working in that sort of marvelous way. But coming out of that, there are some questions. How did these people grow? What did they do? What did the Christian life even look like for these early believers in Jerusalem? Well, the verses that we are studying in our own series here in Acts chapter 2, picking up with verse 42, give us a snapshot of life in that first congregation. So let's return there together. I do promise, by the way, we're not going to be in Acts 2:42 forever. We'll get out of it eventually, but I want us to see this because I think it's one really simple. I think one of our dangers in our age is we think that things that are more complicated, more complex, are somehow better, that it's more faithful, that everything has to have all these details and be so complicated that only a professional can talk about it or do it. I'm convicted that that is not the picture normally given in the scriptures. The Christian life is one that is actually pretty simple, though it's not always easy. Simple, but not easy. I think we look over that too often. So what's helpful for us is to see how these first believers, so close in time to Jesus, and certainly with the eyewitnesses of the apostles leading them, how did they do church and Christian life together? Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It's meant by fellowship. Last week we spoke of the apostles' teaching. They're teaching the word. They're teaching what Jesus commanded of them. They're quite literally embodying the Great Commission out of Matthew 28. Okay, so we've passed on this word. The people are treasuring that and living that way. But now we come to the second part of their life together, which they are devoting themselves to fellowship. I think many misunderstandings revolve around people talking past each other in life. Have you noticed this? Right? You think you're on the same page, and then later perhaps you find out, like, oh, when I was saying, you know, ABC, what they really were thinking of was something completely different. They were thinking of XYZ. Well, so it is here. If we don't talk about what we mean by fellowship, we might really be thinking about different things. I recently, by God's grace, earned a doctorate, so I should probably earn it for you. Let's talk about the Greek the Greek word for fellowship, do you know what it means? This is great. We're going to use this. It means fellowship. There you go. There's your benefit from 4 years of, no, it really does. There's no mystery here. There's no, like, hidden meaning that if only you knew other languages. No, this word is used often throughout the New Testament to refer to a shared community life, a close association between people. And it's frankly not even just a Bible word. It's used in other Greek literature of the time. It's really common. A close-knit family would be said to have this kind of fellowship, this kind of koinonia, right? An especially passionate and focused business where the employees were treated almost more like family than co-workers, that could be described by this kind of fellowship. So what makes the picture here in Acts particularly Christian is not just the word, but it's what is this fellowship about? What has drawn these people together? And it's that they're saved by Jesus and called into a new community, which the New Testament gives a title to. That new community is called the church. That's what's going on here. That's the picture here. If you want me to say it from kind of the opposite direction, what's at the center of this fellowship, what defines their entire reason for having these close-knit relationships with one another is that they all have the same Lord, Jesus Christ. That's what their fellowship is. That's who it's about. That's why it matters. And that poses a challenge that we need to consider. Brothers and sisters, the norm for Christian life all throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, is that God's people are intentional about doing life together, about gathering together. We are to do life together. We're to grow together, cry together, forgive together, suffer together, even as we are doing this morning, worship and learn and grow together. This is why, for example, we believe that church is an in-person gathering of God's people. Don't get me wrong, there's great use for, you know, like recording the sermon and putting them on the website or things like that. But we're not trying to form a church around internet-based sermons or small groups. That's not what we're after, because that's not what we see here. Similarly, we wouldn't accept for membership a person who only connects with us online, as if to say, well, I want to be a member, but I'm never going to be present. No, we'd see that as not following the picture and really the priorities that we see in the Scriptures. Why? Because God's people do life together. We rub shoulders together, side by side. And I wonder, do you value that kind of shared life? Is that a priority for you? Let me talk about why you may not. Right? The first is because it's inconvenient. It is. Right? One of the things that I think many in our, at least in our country, learned during COVID is that it's a lot more convenient to roll out of bed, to make your coffee, and then to watch the service online. That's a lot more convenient. It really is. This is inconvenient. Going and praying together over someone who's sick or visiting someone who needs encouragement, that's inconvenient. Both of those, actually all of those, are costly in terms of time and your schedule. It means that ultimately, you have to rub shoulders with people who aren't always like you, people who are different from you, perhaps with politics or hobbies or preferences. Right? It would be easy to downplay fellowship because, frankly, at times it's uncomfortable. And yet, prioritizing God's people to simple or always comfortable. That's how we grow in fellowship. That's how we do Christian life together. That's how we practice following Jesus together. This is what it looks like to extend Christ's own love to one another, and to live out the forgiveness that he has offered to each one of us. And brothers and sisters, the picture here out of Acts 2 is to hold high our fellowship, to prize our gatherings, not to find ways to make them shorter, lesser, or optional. Which leads then to the second point. If that's what fellowship is, well, why does fellowship matter? I've said in the past that fellowship isn't just a nice to have, right? This isn't the, you're going and picking out your vehicle and, oh, the leather seats would be a little bit nicer, you know. That's not what fellowship is. What I mean and what I believe is that fellowship isn't an optional add-on to the Christian faith. This isn't something you take or leave according to your preference. Oh, you're a type A people person, so of course you love this. Oh, well, I'm more of a type B introvert, so fellowship's not my thing. That's not what we see in the Scriptures. Instead, what we see is that fellowship matters because Jesus matters. Let me say that again, because I think sometimes we overlook that point. Fellowship, what we do, what we're trying to prize and prioritize as a church, fellowship matters because Jesus matters. I realize that's a big statement. We should probably back that up, shouldn't I? All right, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that our fellowship as Christians, that represents something about what we believe and who we believe in. Well, this is true in all of life. What you do is showing what you care about, what you value. Okay? So our Lord has perfect fellowship in and with himself as the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you realize that our God is in perfect fellowship with himself at all times? Never at odds. Right? Not even like the best of marriages or the best of friendships where things are normally good, but every once in a while. No. Perfect. Always. And for eternity. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit relate to one another perfectly at all times. I don't want to push this word too far, but you could say that our God is in community with himself, that fellowship with himself. And so what's so amazing about the gospel is then that our God invites us into this fellowship that he already shares. He doesn't need you and I. He's not lacking. But he invites us to enjoy his holiness and perfections alongside him. That's what the Father has planned since before creation. It's what Jesus has accomplished for us through his death, burial, resurrection. And it's what the Holy Spirit then applies in our lives and calls us to as Christians together. We are called to have fellowship with the God of the universe. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims, is that there is a way to be made right with that God and to have a right relationship with him. And it's by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. That's what fellowship is and why it matters. Now, the Apostle Paul then goes on to write about how we were made for fellowship when he writes that God chose a people, that's you and me, everyone who trusts in Christ, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Ephesians chapter 1. This is what God is doing. He's uniting what is separated. Paul then goes on to say that the blessings of a Christian all happen in Jesus, or you might say in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 goes on, in him we have obtained an inheritance. In him you were sealed. filled with the Holy Spirit. This all happens because of our relationship, our fellowship given to us by Jesus Christ. So first, be free. Fellowship matters because that's what we Christians were made for. That's why it matters. Our fellowship with God forms the basis then of our fellowship with one another, which in turn teaches us more about the riches that we have in Christ. As imperfect as our community is, and it is, and I'll be the first to say, even if you all were just as wonderful and perfect, I would be the fly in the ointment here. But even given that, understand that we are a training ground for enjoying fellowship with our God. Have you thought about church that way? This is the training ground for that. Our fellowship is an imperfect picture, an imperfect analogy that's yet still importantly giving a foretaste of what God offers to us of himself in the gospel. That's why fellowship is absolutely crucial. Take away community, and you miss out on understanding what matters for eternity, ultimately. In fact, take away community, and you miss out on understanding the gospel in a very real way. That's why I say that fellowship matters, because Jesus matters. Now, it also matters because this kind of fellowship is part of our testimony about Jesus to the world. You ever considered that? That it's not just about you and me kind of individually growing or even first be free as a, you know, like within these four walls, us growing spiritually. Those are true, obviously, as I just said. But it's also that one way our church displays Jesus is through how we interact with each other, how we treat and care for one another. And in that sense, fellowship is evangelistic, because it prizes the gospel and how we relate to each other. You might later today give your attention to John chapter 13, where Jesus teaches the disciples that their witness to the world about him depends on how they live one another. Excuse me, how they love one another. There he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." What makes that real? What, if you want a fun $5 word, what actualizes that faith between just, "Oh yeah, I love other people, you bet," and actually, no, others can see that that's real. It's not just a nice catchphrase. Well, it's fellowship. It's life together in Christ Church. Right? This is where we practice showing love for one another. And so, friends, you were made for fellowship. You were made to show the fellowship that Jesus offers to others. How will you do that this week? How will you be intentional about that kind of fellowship in this week ahead? It's not only here on Sunday morning. I realize this is a prime example of it. How will we, First E3, care for one another in this sort of Jesus-centered, gospel-exalting way, inconveniently, sacrificially, in the week ahead? Different for each of us. I get that. So how do we grow in fellowship? Final point. It's an important one because given how important fellowship is, we should want to grow in this. Well, the scriptures give a number of answers. Let me start with perhaps one of the most important, and it's to be intentional about our times together. I realize you're all sitting here in this room. You have had, you've been intentional. You woke up today. You got dressed. Thank you. And now you're here. that's good. Hebrews chapter 10 reads, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet each other, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so as we wait for Christ's return, notice the author of Hebrews makes these 3 points about fellowship. You know, stir up one another, not with the latest news that, you know, get you all anxious, and we're not looking for that, but towards love and good works. How do we do that? How would you do that? Well, so often it's by you showing love, by you serving someone else in this Jesus-like way. It's also not neglecting to meet together, not just taking our gatherings carelessly. I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I realize some of you, you know, you're on call, or you're sick, or hey, I was out, I was sick, you know, I get that, okay? So this is not a church attendance record sort of sermon. But it is to say that this is important. It's not just an optional, like, oh, I feel like church today. No, this is part of how we actually follow Jesus, how we genuinely grow together. Make time. Sunday morning, we have opportunities throughout the week. I'm not asking you to fill every single night with something from church. Actually, I'll just give a little side note. Actually, I think you probably shouldn't, because you should be making time both to spend time with your family, to get to know your neighbors, to care about your coworkers. You need to have some margin in your life to do that. And the only way you can do that is if you're not in this building every night of the week, right? So it's okay, but we do have some opportunities. And maybe there's one that you need to get involved with to grow together. Great, make that a priority. And then what's more, third, encouraging one another. You know, if there's one thing that I have noticed this side of COVID, I don't know that COVID started this, but it certainly highlighted it, it's that seemingly just about everyone's discouraged these days. And we're all bearing some sort of weight. Maybe it was the personal weights that we already had, you know, struggles with health and relationships. Or, maybe it's just the weight of, frankly, 24-hour news that's almost never good. Maybe it's the weight of our worries about, you know, our country or the world, but we could sure use some encouragement, couldn't we? Do you realize that part of the solution for that is that we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus rather than the worries of this world? And that as we do that, we can then share that encouragement with each other. And then the watching world would actually see that a church isn't just an organization of people who have certain political beliefs or social beliefs, but that the church is actually different. They're not just like everybody else, and yet they want everybody else to come and see why they're different. And that's part of our witness. And so friends, make it your goal to encourage your brothers and sisters in the faith this week, right? Maybe that's here today. You know, could you greet someone after the service that you don't know well or you need to reconnect with? Could you, at the potluck afterward, maybe be really intentional about who you sit with? And just, hey, you know, can I sit with you? I've been meaning to ask your name. I've seen you for months, right? That wouldn't be any of you. For you, it'd be, you know, weeks. But for me, I'm bad with names, so you've told me your name like 4 or 5 times. Remind me again. That's okay. Could we do that together? If you know that something is going on in someone's life, maybe you see it on the prayer email, can you call them? Or if it's appropriate, visit them or send them a text. I've mentioned in the past that some of my most joyful times in Christ come when we're on vacation. We always look for another E-Free church in the area. You'd be surprised how many there are, by the way. Do you realize those are your brothers and sisters in Christ, too? Be intentional about that. I promise you. I really do. These are ideas. They're not laws. But they're going to get you thinking. Okay? So answer this question then as you plan out your schedule for the week ahead. How will you prioritize fellowship this week? Start making that a question you ask yourself. And as you plan, make it your mission to find someone in our church to encourage. All right, are you thankful for our worship team? I mean, they do an awesome job, and they put a lot of effort into that. And they do it not just for musical excellence, but because they want to lead us before the throne. Okay, can you say something to one of them? Can you leave a note on one of the stands? You might be surprised how little that they hear, good or bad. Your feedback might make all the difference there. Hey, maybe you're on the way home and your kids are talking about this awesome Sunday school lesson. When's the last time you said something to any of the Sunday school teachers that's not a, hey, can you do this? I want this. There's times for that. But when's the last time that you just, hey, thank you so much for investing in my children? And investing in them for something that will matter for eternity. They need that sort of encouragement to serve your kids well. But it could be as simple as just catching someone in the hallway on the way out of church today. Right? My point isn't just to be nice to each other. I mean, that's good and fine. But rather, the point is that what we have in common in Jesus is infinitely valuable. And so we need to treasure that. And part of what we have in Jesus is this fellowship. So let's lean into it. Prioritize it. Grow together. Because in doing so, we're going to have not just this stronger community, as wonderful as that is, as big of a testimony as that will be, but instead as we lean into this, we learn to prize our Savior more fully. To enjoy him all the more. To display him to a world in desperate need of fellowship with our King. That's what we're after first evening. So now let's call on our Lord to produce that in us, that we would grow in this kind of fellowship for his glory and for our good. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that what you call us to is not just another task. It's not just a to-do list item that would be nice. Instead, what you call us to is actually who you call us to. It's that you call us to yourself. Oh, what a blessing that is. We do not deserve to have right relationship with you. We certainly don't deserve to have an eternity of fellowship with you. But that's exactly what you offer through Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the gospel promises to those who love Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, it's our prayer that we would treasure that, not only for someday, but that we would treasure that today. First and foremost, of course, Lord, by trust in your Son. Let us never value any practice, any spiritual sounding